Please open your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 4 tonight. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Hear the word of God. Therefore, since we have this ministry, as we received mercy, we do not lose heart. But we have renounced the things hidden because of shame, not walking in craftiness or adulterating the word of God, but by the manifestation of truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. And even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing, in whose case the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelieving, that they might not see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. For we do not preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus as Lord, and ourselves as your bondservants for Jesus' sake. For God, who said, "Light shall shine out of darkness," is the one who has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the surpassing greatness of the power may be of God and not from ourselves. We are afflicted in every way, but not crushed. Perplexed, but not despairing. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. Always carrying about in the body the dying of Jesus, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our body. For we who live are constantly being delivered over to death for Jesus' sake, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our mortal flesh. So death works in us, but life in you. But having the same spirit of faith according to what is written, "I believe, therefore I spoke," we also believe, therefore also we speak, knowing that he who raised the Lord Jesus will raise us also with Jesus and will present us with you. For all things are for your sakes, that the grace which is spreading to more and more people may cause the giving of thanks to abound to the glory of God. Therefore, we do not lose heart. But though our outer man is decaying, yet our inner man is being renewed day by day. For momentary light affliction is producing for us an eternal weight of glory, far beyond all comparison, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Let us pray together. We ask, Father, that as we read this passage of Scripture and briefly consider its message, its teaching, that you would cause each of us who profess the name of Christ, whether we are newly entered into his kingdom or for many, many years have walked the path with him, that you would help us learn how not to lose heart, how to persevere in the faith. We ask that you would send your Holy Spirit upon us and help us to understand what Paul is saying, that we may return to Jesus Christ as he did and not lose heart. That we may see things rightly and as they really are, not as we wish them to be or desire them to be, so that we would not lose heart. Help us to be biblically real about our ministry and our purpose in life, so that we will not lose heart. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We approach the supper of the Lord this evening as professing disciples of Jesus Christ. He said, "If anyone would be my disciple, let him deny himself, take up the cross daily, and follow me. For he that would save his life shall lose it. But he that would lose his life for my sake shall find it." Those are the words of entrance into the kingdom. This is not a second step for spiritual Christians. These are the foundations of entering into the kingdom of God. These are the first things of following Christ. Even baptism itself tells us that from this day forward, we are no longer living unto ourselves. We are living unto him who loved us and gave himself up for us. We've been bought with a price. We do not own ourselves anymore. We are his, and he is ours. The call to discipleship is complete and extensive. And it is irrevocable. Why preach on a text like this today? A text where Paul is dealing with the fact that there are times that he is tempted to lose heart. Having walked with Christ many, many years now, he has to write two letters to a church which he started to defend himself as an apostle and an authoritative teacher of God's truth, so that they would listen to him. They were treating him lightly. They were not considering what he had to say. There were many reasons to lose heart. There was immorality in the church at Corinth, and they had not disciplined it. That could have caused Paul to lose heart. It causes many to lose heart. There was heresy in that some in Corinth actually were questioning the resurrection of Christ and the resurrection of the dead. Can you imagine a church in which some people did not believe in the resurrection? That'll make a pastor lose heart. Those who want to build New Testament churches like we do must face the weakness of the New Testament church as well. We find Paul dealing with problem after problem, worship out of order, saints at each other's throats, many reasons to lose heart besides his own battles within, as he attempted to serve Christ and overcome his own struggles, who was the chief of sinners. Many reasons to lose heart. Why would I pick such a text on a night like this? Well, to be truthful to joy and to exhort the saints to not lose heart. There are some that are tempted to lose heart for various reasons. The observation of others who profess the name of Christ, who do not walk faithfully and consistently, is a great struggle, especially for a new believer and a young believer, to cause them to lose heart. They're the struggles within, where we attempt by faith to live in a way that would be pleasing to the Lord and face the reality of the New Testament, that after everything is said and done, we who follow Jesus Christ, after all, do not follow Him perfectly. There are times that we're tempted to lose heart. There is the world, as we bring the gospel to it, loving men enough to speak to them about the condition of their souls, yet receiving many times rejection and opposition and criticism and even persecution. It's enough to make someone want to crawl into a hole and lose heart. How can we overcome losing heart? And even among the church of God, there are times when saints do not walk faithfully as an example to the young believers, which discourages them, and do not walk faithfully before each other as an encouragement to them, enough to make even true believers lose heart. How can one keep from losing heart? Well, you have to go back to the first things. That after all, when we were called by God to follow Him, to be a disciple, discipleship, an entrance into His kingdom, and following Him was defined in these terms: deny yourself, take up the cross daily, and follow Him. We are not in the kingdom of God to be ministered to. We are in the kingdom of God as vessels of mercy and kindness to serve our God and to serve His people. We are not to become dependent upon them in a wrong way or upon others, or to manufacture in our minds even a church that is not biblically real. Therefore, since we have this ministry, as we receive mercy, we do not lose heart. Do you know the only thing that can keep a young believer from losing heart as they grow and see many times inconsistencies in the people of God and weakness in themselves? Do you know the only thing that can enable a long-time believer to renew his or her faith and zeal for the Lord and to persevere in the faith and overcome slothfulness and inconsistency and coldness and deadness? Do you know what can bind the people of God together in serving one another without thought of self and how I am served or not, but to dedicate themselves to the service of the people for whom Christ died in any small or great way they can without losing heart? This is the only way I know of in the Scripture, and this is Paul's own confession. Since we have this ministry, as we receive mercy, we do not lose heart. To look fully into the face of Jesus Christ, to understand how great our sin was that caused such one so perfect and so good and so pure to have to die for our redemption. To understand how great was our sin against such a great and good God who is so faithful to us. To understand what it costs for mercy to come to us, forgiveness to come to us. the goodness of God to be showered upon us, so that it may be called the riches of His kindness and grace. As we receive mercy, we do not lose heart. There are so many reasons to lose heart. In verses 3 through 6, he speaks of unbelievers. You preach the gospel to them, and it is veiled. The god of this world, Satan, has blinded the minds of the unbelieving that they cannot see. And you can talk to your blue in the face and beg them on your knees for their own soul's good and condition to return unto the Lord who has made them, to come to the Christ who has come for sinners. And they won't come. They will not come unless God in His mercy, at the right time, the one who spoke at the beginning of the world and said, "Light shall shine out of darkness," at that time comes to their hearts and opens their eyes to shine upon their hearts and to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. We should not lose heart, because mercy is in the hands of God. Nor should we lose heart in ourselves, in verse 7, where Paul had to face one great fact, as he speaks about all through the book of 2 Corinthians, his own weakness, his own ignorance. And he says, "But we have this treasure," that is the treasure of the gospel, "in earthen vessels." Who wants to keep pure gold in a pot of clay? It deserves to be kept in something wonderful and beautiful. And yet God only has earthen vessels. And He has chosen that His gospel of grace and mercy and kindness be brought to men in earthen vessels. We have this treasure in earthen vessels, he said, that the surpassing greatness of His power may be of God and not from ourselves, so that when everything is said and done, anything that is accomplished by the kingdom of God through anyone can be said to be a mercy of God, a kindness of God, nothing in them, but only in His power and grace. Ernie Reisinger used to love to say this phrase, "God can draw straight lines with crooked sticks." And that's what He does every day. In the likes of us, He builds a kingdom that will not fail, that will never perish, and the gates of hell will not overcome. In spite of much weakness, in spite of much ignorance, in spite of much failure, the kingdom of God goes on and on and on. Why? How? Because of His mercy. So, we are afflicted in every way as we walk in this world, bearing the name of Christ, whether you're a gospel minister or a gospel Christian ministering. Afflicted in every way. But we're not crushed. Do you know why? Because He told us up front, "If anyone would be my disciple, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. For he that would save his life shall lose it. But he that has lost his life for my sake shall find it." Our hope is no longer in our life. It is in Him who loved us and gave Himself up for us. We are perplexed. There are times when we're perplexed and confused, and we simply do not understand. We don't stand others. We don't understand ourselves. And we don't understand God. And that's the truth of it. Many times as believers, we may be perplexed and feel our smallness and ignorance and just not understand. But we're not despairing because he has told us the truth, that if anyone would be my disciple, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus shall be persecuted. We're not despairing, because before us stands a cross where one who loved us more than we love ourselves gave his life for us. And an empty tomb, which no man can deny, that tells us this is all true. It is true. It is really true. It is true today. It shall be true tomorrow. So we're not despairing, though we're perplexed. As we've received mercy, we do not lose heart. We are persecuted for the name of Christ, but that is no strange thing. Beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery trials that come upon you as though some strange thing were happening to you. He told us beforehand that there would be walks down paths of persecution and difficulty upholding his name. But that does not mean we're forsaken by him, for he promised, I will never leave you or forsake you. He said, do not fear. I have overcome the world. As we've received mercy, we do not lose heart. And we may be struck down, but we're not destroyed. We're not destroyed. Because we have been told at the entranceway, verse 10, always carrying about in our body the dying of Jesus, that the life of Jesus may also be manifested in our body. When we began this path, we came before him who gave his life for us, and we gave our life for him. We came to him who died for us, for our sins, that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. No longer living for ourselves, ruling ourselves, we bowed our hearts to one who is worthy to rule us and dedicated ourselves to live for him, to die for him, to serve those whom he brought in our path. For our Lord said, I did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give my life a ransom for many. As we have received mercy, we do not lose heart. If we understood more about the mercy of God and how great and wide and deep it is, we would not lose heart when we become persecuted, cast down, perplexed, rejected of men, not ministered to by others the way they ought to minister to us. We have been called to die that others may live, as he died that we might live. It's the simple gospel that we're faced with again at the entranceway. A husband dies that his wife may live. A parent dies that their child may live. A Christian friend in the church dies and gives up on seeking to be served, that all of his brethren may live by his service. For we carry about in our body the dying of Jesus, that the life of Jesus may be manifested in our body. For we who live are constantly being delivered over to death for Jesus' sake, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our mortal flesh. So death works in us, but life in you. That's what the gospel is about. As he died and life slipped away from him upon a cruel cross that we might live, so we dedicate our life to die for him and others that they may live. As we have received mercy, we do not lose heart. We do not lose heart in the hardness of the task. in the possibility of rejection and criticism, in the possibility that our love will not be returned as we have given it. We do not lose heart. Why? Because mercy has surrounded us from first to last, from before the foundation of the world. God, in His kindness, had mercy upon those who would be lost in darkness and sin by their own design and fault. And so, in counsel with His Son and the Spirit, they covenanted together to show mercy. And one day, upon Calvary's hill, mercy was shown in its fullest measure for all of us to look and look again and see that we would not lose heart. Therefore, we do not lose heart. For though our outer man is decaying, yet our inner man is being renewed day by day. For momentary, light affliction is producing for us an eternal weight of glory far beyond all comparison. While we look at things which are seen, while we look not at the things which are seen, but the things which are not seen, for which the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Do you know what our problem is when we lose heart? We look at the things that are temporal. We look at our life, and it's not what we hoped it would be. It's not what we planned it would be, and it's not what we think a just God would bring into our lives, and we lose heart. We look at the things that are temporal. We look at the people around us, and we hope in them. We hope and trust that they will comfort us. They will show mercy to us. They will show kindness to us. They will love us as they should. And then they don't, and we lose heart. Because the things which are seen are temporal. There is only one thing to persevere in the faith of Christ and not lose heart, and that is to see the things that we cannot see. To believe the things that we have not seen. We look into the Scriptures and see one has been crucified for sinners like us. And we have not seen Him, but we love Him. And we do not see Him now, but we rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory. We look into the Scriptures and we see that this one who once was crucified by our sins, by the hands of godless men, is now raised from the dead. And though we do not see Him, by faith we see Him ruling and reigning, receiving the praises of the saints that have gone before us as they shout before Him, "It was worth it. It was worth it." Our eyes of faith look into the Scriptures and see that this one who rules the universe so that Paul can say, "All things are for your sake," that he governs the entire universe for the growth of his people and the growth of his church and the extension of his kingdom until he comes and is coming, where now every eye cannot see him, but when he comes, every eye shall see him and every knee shall bow. Those are the things that keep us from losing heart. We look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Since therefore we have this ministry, as we receive mercy, kindness, forgiveness, a heavenly home, the presence of God, His daily care, His tender care, His love toward us as a father, though we may never have been loved by like that by a single person in the history of our life, He loves us that well. As we have received mercy, we do not lose heart. We do not lose heart. We persevere in the faith. And every time we come at the supper, He says, do this in remembrance of me. Remember me so that you may not lose heart. Have you lost heart? Are you still looking for things temporal to satisfy you and help you and comfort you? You're looking in vain. In ministering to others, are you looking for an equal return? You're looking in vain. There is only one thing that comes to the human heart with comfort, and that is the sovereign, unconditional, benevolent, and kind mercy of God in the face of Jesus Christ. And if you will gaze upon that place where God has had mercy upon sinners, you shall find it. And every day, you will not lose heart. He told us so from the beginning. Our life is not our own anymore. It is His. And if we believe in His mercy, we shall not lose heart. Let us pray.